Let's continue and complete this morning the lesson on memorization and go on to the concept of how to meditate in the Word next week. We've been dealing with Joshua chapter 1 and dealing with the verses 1 through 9. And we dealt for the last few weeks, first of all, with the promise, with the promise of His presence. He said, I want you to remember what I did for Moses. I'm not going to fail you. And I'm not going to forsake you. He referred to Moses simply as a reference point. And he said, now these promises are yours. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. And what that means is, I will not be less than adequate for you, and I will not be less than available for you. And then the priorities were found in the next verse. He said, I want you to be strong and of good courage. And then, of course, he repeated again in verse 9. And we dealt last week, 2 weeks ago, with the fact that strength was inner endurance based on God's adequacy, but that courage was visible expression of inner strength. And then he goes on to say there's a prerequisite, and that is total, absolute obedience. And we all shrink back and say, we can't be strong, we can't be courageous, and I've tried, but I cannot be absolutely obedient. He says, I want you to not turn from the to the left or the right. I want you to get on the freeway and stay there. And we dealt 2 weeks ago with how we can get off on the access road and ride alongside the freeway and think that we're in adequate working position spiritually until all of a sudden the access road veers off in the opposite direction. And because we were not in total obedience, we missed the mark. And then the power source is the fourth aspect, and that's where we began in verses 8 and 9 and 10. And that is the fact that the source of our power is no less than the Word of God, nothing else. It's the way that you can become strong and courageous. It's the way that you can be assured of victory over the enemy, because it says in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand against thee. So we're told we can be strong, courageous, and have total victory over the enemy. And we're told that we can have total obedience, and we can have prosperity and success. And there's not a one of us here this morning that doesn't vote for that. The question is found then, the solution is found, and this is what the problem comes in, is found in verses 8 and 9. You can have all of these things, and they're all available directly from God, but there is a procedure or a process that we must go through in order to accomplish this end. So principle number one was that it's a commandment from God, and we dealt with that 2 weeks ago. He says, be strong and be courageous. Secondly, he said, and in regards to the same principle, he says, you shall not, the word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in their day and night. These are absolute commandments from the mouth of God. These are not viable options for someone who desires something a little extra in the Christian life. These are musts. Principle number two is that there's only one source then of that strength, and it's the word of God. And so we begin this morning then with principle number three, and that is that it is a process, not an experience. Well, we dealt with this 2 weeks ago also. There are two aspects of having the word in your mouth. One is it means literally to receive readily, and secondly, to have instantly accessible. In other words, to have it on the tip of your tongue. The fourth principle was that memorization is the only viable alternative for meditation to work. If these things are true, if the word is the only source, if it's a commandment, and we're to both have it accessible in our minds and readily receive it, the only way to do it is to memorize it. We recall basically 10% of what we hear, 20% of what we hear and read, 50% of what we hear, read, and study over a period of time, but roughly 100% of what we hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. And the way to get a grip on the word of God is to memorize it. And so there are four aspects regarding memorization. First is to memorize. That is, you saturate your mind with a particular verse, like you did with Joshua 1, 8, and 9. Now the second area is to review. That's to continue to call back to your remembrance the verse you've memorized. If you don't do that, 6 weeks from now, I will ask you to share Joshua 1, 8, and 9. And the chances are about 25% of you will be able to do it. The other 75% will remember the words, remember the thought, and remember where it is, but you'll not be able to share it readily. But if you memorize it and review it on a regular basis between now and then, it will be more engraved in your heart then than now. And you'll not need to glance at the word. You'll simply have it at your fingertips. But once it's memorized, it's there. The third area is to meditate. That is, as you recall a verse, you enter into the verse as a person. And we'll get to that next week. And then lastly, you apply it. Memorize, review, meditate, and apply. To apply means to obey and rely on what the meditation has produced in your heart. We'll get to some illustrations of that next time. The fifth principle, and where we take up this morning, what are the objections to memorizing the Scripture? You say, well, maybe this is a negative approach, but I would like to deal with it with total honesty. Because as Christians, we come up with the most gosh-awful excuses for not doing the will of God. And I just want to go through those excuses very quickly. Some of them sort of take care of themselves. But I would like us to shoot down any arguments that the enemy may be kind of penetrating in our own minds. The first one is the question of legalism. And I would like to suggest to you this morning that doing something on a regular basis in obedience to the Word of God, whether you feel like it or not, is not legalism. That's obedience. Legalism is when you focus on the procedure and make it your God rather than a means to an end itself. I've heard people say, well, it seems to me to be hypocritical to memorize Scripture if you don't really feel led to. Well, I think the Greek word for that is hogwashio. When you don't feel, when you're so sick in the hospital that you don't feel like eating, what does the doctor do? Leaves you alone, doesn't he? No, he gives you intravenous injections because you don't have either the ability or the sense, one of the two, to eat for yourself. So he comes and feeds you because you need food then more than at any other time in your life. And that's the way it is spiritually. When you don't feel like getting into the Word, that's the time you need it the most. And if you're waiting for your feelings to motivate you, you've got a real problem. Another question we often ask is, what if I don't want to? Well, that's another good, legitimate excuse, and that's all it is. Because having the want to's really has nothing to do with having the supposed to's. Now, all of your parents, or many of your parents, and I don't think you would ever accept that as an excuse from your child when you called them in and said, now, I want you to clean up for supper, and I want you to sit down and eat your spinach and egg roll or whatever it is you feed them. You would say, you don't want to. Excellent. Now let's sit down and talk about why we're going to. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 13, I think is a good passage. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. In other words, God's saying it's not necessarily whether you're in fellowship, and that's the third argument I often hear for those of you that may be young in the Lord. Being in fellowship is having things between you and God, such as unconfessed sins in your life, out of the way, and having yourself in a position where you really feel that you and God are in a perfect relationship. And a lot of Christians say, well, I can't memorize this week because I've been out of fellowship. I just don't have the right relationship with the Lord. And as Isaiah 33:13 tells us that it really doesn't matter whether you're nearby or far off. You need to listen to what the Lord has to say. Then turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. Rather, verse 2, the last of verse 2 and the first of verse 3. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give you. Have you ever told your children that? Don't be so rebellious. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you, particularly those of you that little bitty ones. And they're sitting in that high chair and they grin and they're so happy until you come at them with that spoon and they close their mouth. Or they'll take it and they'll spit it out and they'll knock the spoon down and you sit there and you say, oh, you little darling, you're so precious. I would just like to encourage you, if at all possible, to take another chance. Be not rebellious like those rebellious ones. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent to me, and a roll of book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written inside and out. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this roll, and speak unto the house of Israel. This is my word, in other words. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And the last one is, what if I'm angry with God? Well, that one doesn't even really bear a good answer. First thing you do is confess it as sin, and then you get into the Word. But all of us have said that. You know, I've got kind of a bitter spirit towards God, and it seems like an unfortunate time right now for me to get into the Word. That's exactly the opposite. Again, that's the time to get into the Word and remind yourself of who He is. The second question then after that is the question of weakness or inability. And this is the one we hear the most. I just can't memorize. And some people can't very well. But those same people, if you ask them to dial a phone number, oftentimes can pick up the phone and you'll be amazed at the numbers they'll remember. The whole key to the thing is found in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Again, the passage we shared 3 weeks ago. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, nor heretofore, since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I'm slow of speech and I have a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, I understand. You don't need to try. No, that's not what it says. That's the Revised Layman's Translation. The Word says, and the Lord said to him, Who made your mouth? Who makes the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? I thought I did, said the Lord. Now I want you to go, and I'll be your mouth. And I want you to teach you what you're to say. And so Moses argued with him some more, and finally the Lord said, Okay, if that's the way you want it, we'll give you a helper. The same principle. The Lord says to us, Who made your mind, anyhow? I know that it's not a natural thing for some of you to memorize. That's fantastic, because it brings us to the second point. His strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Which really means that if you have a natural bent for memorizing, you in the flesh can memorize the Word and God will use it. But you will miss a portion of the blessing that those of us receive who do not have a natural bent to memorize. Because in our lives, because we do not have that natural ability, we need what? A supernatural ability. So we go to the Lord, we must ask Him. We go to the Lord and ask, because you remember the principle, it's ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. And we say, Lord, I can't memorize. You know, I forget where I live. I have to get my driver's license out and be sure I'm pulling into the right house. Lord, would you supernaturally enable me? I'll start out slowly, and I'm going to ask you to perform a miracle in my life. That's your business. I know it's the will of God. If we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And you ask God, and you take one verse for the next week like you did for the last week, and you watch God perform a miracle. Who'll get the glory? He will. You'll be amazed. You'll fall down on your knees, and you'll praise Him. Because He did something that you could not do. The third principle is the faithfulness principle. God will test your faithfulness when you first begin to memorize. You say, well, I prayed that prayer and I asked God and I spent 30 minutes trying to memorize Joshua 1:8-9. Nothing happened. I can remember this book of the law. Well, that's a good start. God will test your faithfulness. You remember what He did to Moses? You remember the kind of tests He gives us? He wants to find out if we're faithful in the few things, and then He'll make us ruler over the many things. And the principle is he's judging you by what you're doing with what you have. You remember the parable of the talents? He's not judging you whether you have the 10 talents or the 2. He's judging you whether if you're a 2-talent man or woman, He's judging you on how you've invested the 2 talents. And some of you are 1-versers, and some of you are 2-versers, and some of you are 4-versers a week or whatever it goes, and some of us are 1/2-versers. We can memorize, Thus saith the Lord this week, and then the next week we start on the next of it. But the key is, if we have to be honest with ourselves, if you're a 1-verser, if you'll set aside 4 times as much time, common arithmetic says that you will be able to do the same thing in 4 times as much time. This is with... Before God begins to supernaturally reveal Himself to you, you can in 4 times as much time do the same thing as somebody else might do in 1. So there's really no problem. All we have to do is set aside 4 times as much time. You say, well, that's terrible. Yeah, it may mean as much as 15 minutes a day. The third question is the question of motivation. And we dealt with this a little bit in under the part of legalism. 1 Peter 2:2 says, As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Crave it. You say, well, that's a feeling. No, it's not. If it was a feeling, it wouldn't be a commandment, because you can't command your feelings. It's a commandment that you put yourself into a position that the Word of God is the very desire of your life. That's what that verse means. I've heard so many people say, boy, I'm sure be anxious when God gets me to the point that I desire the sincere milk of the Word. You're supposed to. It's a commandment. And there are ways to do it. The Word of the Lord is the only thing that has self-producing motivation. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's the principle. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It produces its own desire. You say, well, how do I get a hunger for the Word? Eat it. Taste it. Memorize it. The more you get, the more you want. Some of us are that way about food. I'd suggest that this is a dieter's delight. If you want a challenge, something to do instead of eating all the time, every time you go to reach for that chocolate eclair or that I'm going to get you all so hungry you won't even think about the Milky Way or whatever it is that you like, just as you go to reach that, you reach for a scripture pack and you open it up and you begin to eat the Word. And you ask the Spirit of God to satisfy your soul with the living Word. The fourth principle is the principle of perseverance. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but only one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, Paul says, not uncertainly. I fight, not like I'm beating the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The process of perseverance. Imagine an athlete because he trains because he's supposed to, not because he wants to. He trains not because of, he doesn't say, I have a weakness here. He works on his weaknesses. An athlete knows that progress breeds motivation. When he has a success, he's motivated to continue to press on. He wants to get to the top. The same thing's true in talents or skills. The same thing's true in the military, where we're told in by Paul and other passages that we should be like military trainees. We're being trained for a battle. You bring your body, you bring your mind, you bring your spirit under subjection. And then the last area is the prerequisite of proper priorities is where it all comes down to. Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that these other things will fit into their proper perspective. Job chapter 23, verses 10 through 12 is a good passage to look at, I think. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, for I have esteemed the words of his mouth, now this hurts, more than my necessary food. In other words, what we have to do is set aside priorities. Psalm 119, that passage tells us that if you run out of time to memorize the word, you don't eat. Nobody looked up. Everybody looked down. You say, well, I need to make money and I need to do other things. Psalm 119 says, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 127 says, and I don't mean you quit work and stay home and read the word, okay? Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 131, so I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for thy commandments. So those are some of the objections that the flesh likes to raise and some of the answers I think that the Scripture gives. Well, what does specifically does Scripture memory do? First of all, it affects your prayer life. How many of you have memorized, say, 40 or 50 verses? Okay, a number of you. Have you found a difference in your prayer life as a result of those verses? Why? Because when you're claiming promises, you know the promises. Because when you're interceding with God's word, as we talked about 4 weeks ago, rather than your word. Because you're praying with authority, as Jesus did in John 17, because you're praying within the will of God. Mark chapter 12, 24 says, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God. That's where our mistakes come from. That's where our wrong prayer. You pray and we ask amiss for the wrong motivations. Why? Because we know not the Scriptures. I don't know whether to sing. That would be worse. Secondly, memorizing the Word makes a phenomenal difference when you're tempted. This is the one thing Jesus did in the wilderness. Matthew 4, 1 through 6 or whatever it is. These are every time Satan approached him, Jesus answered with the Scriptures. He simply gave him the Word of God. We suggested to you several months ago, I think, some of you were in this class, there is a possibility in many cases when the enemy begins to encroach and tempt you, if your barrel is full, that you simply turn to the Lord and say, "It is written." And you will be amazed at the verses that come to your mind. And I've said people try that and they say, "You know, I tried that and I was under severe temptation and I just said, 'Lord, help, it is written,' and nothing happened." And I said, "Well, have you been in the Word lately?" And they said, "No." "Do you memorize the Word?" "No." "Well, what was the Lord supposed to give you?" "Well, He was supposed to give me a verse of Scripture." "Well, where was it going to come from?" "From the Bible." "Well, the key is, 'Thy word have I hidden not in my Bible. The word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee.'" And the key is, when you memorize it and give God a storehouse, when you feed that computer and program it properly, then the enemy comes, you simply can share, "Thy word, it is written," and the Word of God becomes alive. The third area is your witness. Now, how many of you here, honestly, I think that many of you who don't even memorize, but haven't memorized for a long time, could tell me Romans 3:23? How many of you think you could do that? Let's see your hands. Why? You learned it sometime. What did you learn it for? Because you wanted to communicate to someone who has not yet found Christ that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. The power of our witness comes, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, from the Word, not from what we think or not. There's two things we're supposed to have: that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, the Word of God and our personal testimony. And if you know even 5 verses of Scripture and have a personal testimony of what God has done in your life, you know enough to at least share the gospel with someone else. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." I have a testimony that I wanted to play for you, and I'm going to play it next week instead, okay? It's Dawson Trotman's voice, and some of you have heard it or read it, but many of you haven't, and it's just a small portion of his personal testimony on tape of how he became a Christian. One reason that he founded the Navigator organization, at least one reason that is so strong on Scripture memory, is because he personally was saved as a result of memorizing Scripture before he became a Christian. He entered a contest and he wanted to win the contest, and he was the only one in the group that memorized the Scriptures. All the Christians in there didn't bother, but this unbeliever, they were given points, and the ones who won the points got to be served or didn't have to pay for this party they were having, and that was his motivation. He memorized the Word and he learned all these verses. Nobody else did. So he won the prize and so forth, and was walking to work one day 3 weeks later, and I don't need to play the testimony now, but walking to work 3 weeks later, and all of a sudden these verses started coming to his mind. And as one would come and he'd become convicted, the Lord would give him another. All of the verses he'd memorized, and he fell to his knees and received Christ as his Savior, with no one there actually leading him to Christ because of the verses or through the verses that he'd memorized. The other areas that obviously Scripture memory helps, and we'll cover them under meditation, but let's go ahead and finish. Personal growth and conviction. Obvious. Psalm 119:128 says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." To do practically what we need to do, we have to have 3 things: a plan, a goal, and a helper. That's if you're interested. If you feel led to be involved in learning, memorizing the Word, you need 3 things: a plan, a goal, and a helper. Now, as far as a plan is concerned, let's don't put this into a box and let the plan determine the spirituality of it. That's the legalism. You can memorize by sections, such as learning the Sermon on the Mount, memorizing 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or memorizing the book of Colossians, or memorizing whole psalms or proverbs. Or you can memorize by subjects. You can memorize a whole packet of verses on spiritual growth or on witnessing, on love, on the tongue. They can be with a pattern or they can be at random. In your everyday reading, or a verse may come out and you may jot it down and want to begin to memorize it. Or they can be relating to certain patterns. And these are some of the patterns I'd suggest to you. One, relating to your personal needs. Let's say you have a temper. Now, I know you don't, so I can use that as an illustration. Let's say you have a temper. You want to get into scripture memory. Rather than memorizing a number of verses at random, go through the Word and find a list of passages on anger. Write them down in some kind of outline form, give titles to them, and memorize them for about 2 months. And then the next time, as you start to get angry, the Lord will have a tool to work with in your life immediately. Well, let's suppose that you have a problem, or a friend of yours, we won't talk about you. Suppose you have a friend of yours that you're counseling has a problem on lying. They just can't always tell the truth. And so maybe they can't tell the truth at all. You want to help them, give them some verses. I'm trying to put this in the third person. Give them some verses on lying or truth. Or if you know someone accidentally that has a problem with slothfulness, you can do the same thing. There may be 150 or more topics that way. Secondly, it may be relating to personal study. You may be studying the book of 1 Timothy in your personal study. So you pick out verses from 1 Timothy and memorize all the key verses in that whole book. Or thirdly, it may be relating to topics or teaching that you're having at that time. You may be going to Bible study fellowship, and you may pick out 3 verses or 2 verses every week from the lesson that you've heard and read and studied. Or you may get them from Sunday school or from the worship service or from another Bible study you go to. So it needs to be either by section or subjects, either at pattern or at random. And thirdly, it needs to be visible and available. But the idea is that unless you write them on something and get them visible and available, you can't do it. What does it say about the Word that you're to have it on the doorposts of your house and on your gates to be like frontlets between your eyes? And if you just walk around and say, hey, I got to look that verse up, I forgot it, I was working on it, and you run home, you get your Bible, and you open it up, and you can't find it, or your Bible's at home and you're at work, or the Bible's in the car and you're outside, or whatever. Or let's say you've written it on big cards, 4x6 cards or whatever, so you can read them well. But you're sitting at work and you have a free minute, it's your coffee break. You don't want to pull out these humongous cards and wave them in the air and say, look how spiritual I am. What you want to do is have something inconspicuous but available. So you can buy these at your local Christian bookstore that are already subdivided by topics, if you'd like, that are already chosen for you. Then as you progress, they make a little packet that you can keep them in if you didn't know that. The one that you're working on at the present can be put under the cellophane so you can look at it, and the others can be kept inside of it. And again, this is not a legalistic procedure. You can do it just as well without it, but it is a help. And you can keep this in your coat pocket or in your purse. And then you can buy a box like this as you begin to develop a bank of verses, and you can put them either by topic or by books of the Bible, and you can review them then on a regular basis. And then another idea that some people have come up with that might be of help to you is, as you develop a few verses, you take a book about this side and you divide it into columns. And under those columns, each page you put a book of the Bible. Or you might put Habakkuk together with something else. But you put, and on the left-hand column, you put the verses that you are working on, or that you wish you were working on. And in the next column, you put a title to help you remember that verse. Now, it also helps if in a third column, you can put the first 2 or 3 words of that verse. Then you can get some paper and just cover the columns with tape, so that you can peel back whichever column you want to use. So you can review yourself either by looking at the reference, by looking at the topic, or by looking at the first 3 words. So that if you want to review yourself by looking at the topic, you know they're all in 1 Peter, and you just open that up and you look at the topics. And by that topic, you should be able to recall the verse, because when you need it, it's probably going to come to you from a circumstance that involves where it's topically arranged in your mind, and you need to know a verse on suffering, for instance. And 1 Peter 2:19 through 21 comes to mind. It's done that because you've given a label to it and you've reviewed it that way. So that's another way for you to review. Secondly, a goal. Choose one way or t'other what you're going to do. You're going to memorize topically or otherwise and go, stay with it for at least 3 months. You don't want to do one thing one week and another the next. Be consistent in what you do, for 3 months. And then set a minimum goal for the first month, for the second month, for the third month. If you don't have a goal, you never know if you've reached it or not. 2 verses a week, 1 verse a week, 3 verses a week. And then whatever you've done, maybe pick 3 times that many verses to review if you have that many that you've memorized. If you're memorizing 2, review 6. If you're memorizing 10, review 30. Whatever works for you, but those are just suggestions. And then thirdly, write it down and tell God about it. If you've decided today that you are going to begin to memorize the Word, when you go home this afternoon, write it down in a book of remembrance somewhere. Not that you'll be faithful the rest of your life, but drive a stake in the ground that you agreed to begin to be faithful in memorizing the Word. And then talk it over with God. Get alone with the Lord. You see, this is how the stake gets driven in the ground. Get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, you know that I'm not sure if this is your will or not. I've been listening to that crazy Sunday school teacher, and I realize that a lot of what he says is way off in left field. And Lord, I want you to confirm for me if that's what you want me to do. And pray about it. If you come to the realization that it is the will of God for you, then make a commitment to Him. Say, now, Lord, based on the authority of your Scripture, and I am now convinced that this is your will, I'm going to tell you right now that by your grace only, I'm going to plan, beginning today, to memorize and to review this many verses a week. Not because it'll make me more spiritual, because it will introduce me more fully to you, and you're the source of my spirituality. And then lastly, get yourself a helper. Get yourself a helper. 2 are better than 1, it says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, because they have a good reward for their labor. Because if one slips up, he's got a buddy to help him. But woe to him that's alone when he slips up. He doesn't have a chance. Now that's a loose translation, but that is really what it says. And so the key is, pick yourself a friend that's also endeavoring to memorize the Word. You don't compete with them. You don't need to memorize the same verses. But you agree to call each other up 2-3 times a week and encourage each other. Not judge each other. Encourage each other. And as you do so, say, hey, would you like to share your verses with me? And let them share with you and you share with them. This is gentle motivation. And your motivation may be wrong, but the end product may be right. And God will change your motivation as you become faithful. Secondly, agree to pray with each other. You and this other person agree that you're going to pray for each other that you can memorize faithfully. And lastly, you can review each other, as I said earlier, and correct each other. But I'm going to ask you, make a suggestion to those of you here that want to but don't have a plan, that you might want to take these 4 verses for the next week and maybe use 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, or maybe add 10 others. The topic for the week is the Word of God. That makes sense, doesn't it? And we'll give you 4 verses. Hebrews 4:12, and the title is The Power of the Word. Romans 10:17, The Fruit of the Word. John 8, this is a little cheating a little because there's 2 verses here. John 8, 31 and 32, The Freedom of the Word. And Jeremiah 15:16, the joy of the Word. Anyhow, if any of you are looking for a path to follow and you'd like to begin this week, but you need somebody to help you with some verses, you can begin by using those. The key is not in what we do. The key is in what God does. All we're doing is being obedient so that we are available to the Spirit for Him to use us. Let's pray. Father, thank You that Your Word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank You that it can divide asunder even the joints in the marrow, the soul and the spirit. Thank You, Father, that it can discern the thoughts, the intents of our heart. Father, we sometimes shun exposure to the Word because we do not want the thoughts of our hearts exposed. May we this week begin a pattern of faithfulness that will last the rest of our lives. Bless, Father, your word as it begins to be engraved more perfectly upon the tablets of our hearts. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen.
You've been listening to a message by Russell Kelfer, founder and director of Discipleship Tape Ministries of San Antonio, Texas. Feel free to contact us on the World Wide Web at www.dtm.org. That's dtm.org. Or you may write to us at the following address: Discipleship Tape Ministries, 10602 Moss Bank, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip is 78230. Well, thank you for listening. We pray God's richest blessing may be yours as He continues to live His life in you.